Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Happy New Year to everyone. I've got my rebel capitalist t-shirt on to remind you it's not too late to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalists Live starting this Friday. It's going to be incredible. Dr. Ron Paul, Chris Cole, Lynn Alden, Robert Kiyosaki, just to name a few. So guys, check out rebelcapitalistlive.com. Check out the whole speaker list and get your tickets ASAP. And I will see you this Friday in Houston. But diving into today's news, we've got the mainstream media doing a complete 180 about the narrative around the Cerveza sickness. And although they're not coming out and maybe taking the same stance that most of us are as far as freedom and liberty, at least they're, I really hesitate to say more objective, but it seems that's the direction they're going, which would make a lot of sense. For those of you who watch my videos, you know that CNN was actually sold maybe a month or 2 months ago to Discovery Time Warner, I believe it was. And the gentleman that's really running the show over there came out and said that CNN is going to go back to basic, good old-fashioned journalism and is going to kind of ditch this propaganda approach that they've taken for many, many years. And maybe we're starting to see that now. I think that would be a massive game changer if CNN actually went back to objective reporting and just giving us and telling us about the news instead of trying to just drive this narrative, this political narrative down people's throats. And unfortunately, so many of the average Joe and Janes out there don't understand that what they're hearing on CNN or MSNBC, and a lot of times Fox as well, isn't really the news. It's just pure propaganda. It's spin. It's what they want you to believe. So they're going to present the quote unquote facts and data to you to get you to come to a conclusion that they want you to draw. And so you think about the portion of the population that falls into that bucket. And if you got CNN that's now more objective, like they used to be back, like the news agencies used to be maybe in the 70s or the 80s, and they weren't perfect back then, but they're so much better than they were today. But if we could go back to that with the mainstream media here in the States, I think that would really move the needle and take us, kind of get us off, or help take us off this road to serfdom and back on the path to freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. But let's get into this article, and you guys will see what I mean. This is from CNN right here. I mean, this is something that you would expect someone to say that has been, let's be honest, that's been deplatformed from Twitter. Or this is something you'd expect to hear Joe Rogan say, or someone that was on Joe Rogan's podcast. It's something you would expect to hear from a Dr. Chris Martinson or from a Brett Weinstein, someone who I believe is really paying attention to the quote unquote science. And this, you know, we haven't heard this from the main, although it's obvious, we haven't heard it from the mainstream narrative. It's been kind of taboo to talk about things that are just glaringly obvious. But maybe we've gotten past the point where, you know, the kid has stood up and pointed at the emperor and saying, wait a minute, guys, he's not wearing any clothes. And I think this may be an example of that. So they go on to say right off the bat, why losing weight might protect you. And again, for all of you on the live stream, you're saying, well, duh, of course, we've all known this. But this is a big deal for CNN to come out and admit this. Because before, it's just the only approach to tackling the problem of the Cerveza sickness has been one thing. And you guys know what that is. It's just this. There's no other ways to approach this. There's no preventative measures you can take. There's nothing you can do that would treat someone maybe once they have the Cerveza sickness. The only thing you can do is this one thing over and over and over and over and over again. And so to see them kind of pulling back from that, it tells me that one of two things, or maybe a combination of both. Number one, CNN is trying to be more objective, like this gentleman that was in charge of the purchase was saying, and or the administration, which obviously they're sympathetic towards, is saying, listen, the whole this being the only option over here, you guys know I'm talking about the medicine over and over and over and over again. We're pulling back from that because politically it's not working. And there's no way we're going to get reelected if we continue down this path, because we're looking at the polling numbers and they're absolutely pathetic. And therefore, we need to make a change here if we hope to, you know, stay in office. And that's, at the end of the day, for the politicians, that's what it's all about. So they go on to say people who are overweight or obese are much higher risk. If they get the Cervasa sickness, it's usually a worse outcome. And I mean, they even list studies and numbers. And I mean, it. I know it's kind of shocking. You would assume that they would do this, like they're a news agency or supposed to be a news agency. So you would assume that an article or a post would include studies and numbers. And sometimes they do, but usually what you get with one of these things, the first paragraph or so is some sort of sob story. It's not data. It's not this. It's just telling you an example, some anecdotal story of someone that lives in, you know, the rough part of Chicago that's really struggled, and therefore you need to believe what we're telling you. That's usually how they start a post. So this is really a breath of fresh air for me. So with the Cervasa sickness becomes even, like we said, so one study found that 30% of the people, and again, I would want more nuance here. So if I had time, I would want to go into this study. And if this video was really about the numbers here, I would go into this study and find out, okay, out of these 30%, well, we need to dig further. We need to find out if these people have chosen to take the medicine, if they have not taken the medicine, what are the age groups involved here? I mean, let's just say that all of the obese people happen to be over the age of 70. Well, okay, well, that skews it quite a bit. So you've got to dig deeper, but at least they're, I guess, making an effort here. The obesity clinic where this is Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford works in Boston has 1,000 plus person wait list that grew a lot longer with the Cervasa sickness, even with more than a dozen specialists on staff. It's not enough to meet demand. Let's see, demand for what here? Did I overlook that? Let's keep going here. We are overwhelmed with the volume of patients that have really made the connection. Oh, I see. So she's helping people lose weight. And so I guess what they're saying is that because a lot of these people that are overweight have made the connection between the dangers of obesity and the Cervasa sickness, that's why she's got a waiting list, because it's all these people trying to lose weight quickly and get healthy. Well, I mean, another thing I want to point out is that there's been a lot of people that have taken a lot of heat for being a tinfoil hatter and a conspiracy theorist and not following the science, quote unquote, that have been saying this, I mean, pretty much since day one. I mean, we've got to give a huge hat tip to Dr. Chris Martinson. I mean, come on. He's been taking a lot of heat from, I mean, you guys know that as well as I do, but he's been saying this. So has Brett Weinstein and several other people. But, you know, it's weird because when they say it, they get demonized. But when the mainstream media says it, or when someone that's approved says it, well, then it's quote unquote science. But what's interesting is the people that get demonized are always the people that are first. Like they're always the ones that are ahead of everything. They're always the ones that are kind of doing the research. And then it's like 6 months later, the quote unquote experts that are actually respected by the mainstream media and the politicians, then they're finally catching up to what Dr. Chris Martinson and Brett Weinstein were saying 6 months ago. We're saying a year ago, for heaven's sakes. So, I mean, I think it's great that they're finally presenting it, but I do think it deserves our attention that for some reason there's this dynamic going on where the science really doesn't matter. It's who's saying it. Like if the approved people are saying it, it doesn't matter what they say. It's science. And then for others, it doesn't matter how accurate they are or how many times they've been correct and how many times they have said this prior to the mainstream picking up on it. It doesn't matter how many times they do that, they are always considered wrong or on the fringe or whatever. Very bizarre, but I think it's something we need to be cognizant of. So they say obesity and the increased risk. So then they start giving some stats here. People with obesity, 46% more at risk of actually getting that. That's interesting, isn't it? I didn't realize they are more at risk at actually getting it. That's a study that I'd want to dive into to make sure they were presenting that accurately. It found that they're more risk of getting really sick. Yet that I knew. And again, that's pretty obvious. I mean, you got to understand. And see, what's weird, for most Americans, they kind of get acclimated to everyone around them being fat. And I'm not saying that to be funny. That's the honest truth. Take it from someone who spends a lot of time outside of the United States. And for those of you on this live stream right now that maybe have spent 4, 5, 6 months at a time outside the United States and then come back, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That you go to some place, even like Colombia, somewhere in South America, let alone someplace like Southeastern Europe. My goodness, go to Croatia or go to Montenegro, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find someone that's even overweight, let alone fat. And then you come back to the United States, and you're just like, whoa, holy cow. I mean, it is a shock to the system. And even people here, you know, once you've been in the United States for quite some time, and you kind of get acclimated to everyone being overweight, you see someone that's 30 or 40 pounds overweight, and you don't even think they're overweight. You kind of think, oh, well, they're just a big guy. No, they're not. They're 40 pounds overweight, for heaven's sakes. And when you're carrying around an extra 100 pounds or 150 pounds or something, how can that not negatively affect your body's ability to fight off infection? I mean, that is so unhealthy that, that's kind of the common sense approach. So to see the data back that up, I mean, that's what makes sense to me. And it's made sense to a lot of people for the past year while the mainstream media was completely ignoring it.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
So facing 113% higher chance of being okay. So I'm going to criticize. I mean, they're getting better, but let's make sure that we're being accurate with the data. So I would prefer that while they give us the percentage, give us the absolute numbers as well. Because if we're talking about, let's say, 100% increase, meaning that we go from 1 to 2 out of a million people, that's okay, that's still 100% increase, but I don't know that that's something that we really need to worry about, right? So give us the absolute numbers. And I'm assuming the absolute numbers will back up this this hypothesis that you are far more at risk. But let's be as accurate as we possibly, as thorough as we possibly can be. So higher chance of, yes, 74% higher risk of, so there we go. See, this is what I'm, let me highlight this, guys, because I kind of trying to keep it YouTube friendly here. But so let me highlight this. You guys can see what we're referring to. So 74% higher risk of, you guys see what's going on. So for people that are just hyper concerned about capacity issues in the hospital system, I mean, why have we not been talking about this? That's the question. And people say, well, you can go ahead and just get the medicine and it's so much easier. It's very difficult to lose weight. I get it. I totally get it. But we've been dealing with this Cerveza sickness for 2 years, for heaven's sakes, almost 2 years. So I get that losing weight is tough, but let's be honest. 2 years, you could have lost a lot of weight. You could have got pretty darn healthy in 2 years. And now you would be in a position where you're far better equipped to handle any stress that would come to your body and therefore the probability of you needing care would be dramatically reduced, not just for the Cerveza sickness, for everything, for heaven's sakes. So they say the risk goes up and up and up with each increase in the person's BMI, which is body mass index. And what's fascinating is the most recent podcast with Rogan, I think you guys know the one I'm talking about, they go into this and they go into why. So it's very, actually, it might have been the one with McCullough, but it's either the one with Malone or McCullough. So then they say dozens of studies have shown similar results. Research from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention also found that those with the lowest risk had BMIs near the threshold between healthy and overweight, and the risk went up with higher BMIs. Yeah. That makes sense, but I'd like to see the absolute numbers just to clarify it even further. So then another study looked at more than 6.9 million. Wow, that's a good size study here. In the UK, found a direct increase in the risk of severe leading to admission. There you go. And so another reason why I've, you always hear these statistics that the US, even on a per capita basis, is struggling the most or struggling more than other countries with the Cerveza sickness. And I've been saying this since day one. It's because everyone here is overweight. And again, I'm not saying that to be mean or to be funny. It is what it is, guys. I mean, Americans are wildly overweight. I mean, especially throughout the Midwest and in the South. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you want to talk about a health problem. Forget the Cerveza sickness. I think obesity is a much, much, much bigger problem than what we've dealt with the Cerveza sickness. And people always wonder how we can spend so much on healthcare per person, yet the average life expectancy isn't what it is in Japan, or it's not what it is in other areas, and it's actually declining. And there's always this big question mark. I'll tell you why. It's because everyone is fat, for heaven's sakes. I mean, the best thing that you could do for healthcare to increase people's average life expectancy is just if you could take the aggregate total of Americans, let's say 350 million, and just reduce everyone's weight on average with the people that are overweight by, let's say, 20 pounds even, for heaven's sakes. I mean, you would increase the life expectancy dramatically. And it's not that our healthcare system, I mean, it's broken, but it's not that our healthcare system, once you get seen by the doctors, is poor or any worse than an area like Croatia, as an example. It's just that you've got the obesity problem. You know, I'll give you one more anecdotal story. When I was in Croatia, in Montenegro, everyone there smokes. I mean, quite literally everyone. Same thing in Italy. I mean, I was shocked at how many people smoke. And but yet everyone's thin. And I was just curious one night in my hotel room. I said, my goodness, the average life expectancy here must be like 60 years old. Everybody smokes, for heaven's sakes. And you go on there and the average life expectancy, if I recall, was on par with the United States, even maybe a little bit higher. when every single person there smokes. So that just goes to show you that here in the United States, a much lower percentage of the people smoke, but a much higher percentage of the people, way higher, are actually obese. And that obesity is just as bad for your health at the end of the day as smoking. So then, does losing weight reduce risk? So this person says, I believe they are, okay, this is a Dr. Koss from John Hopkins. There's no question in controlled trials with people who are obese and have heart failure that if they go through weight reduction or an exercise program or combination, and we look at this marker of how they're doing, the answers are yes, there's evidence that weight loss is a good thing. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to debate that. So there you go. I think the main takeaway there, which is great news, is the mainstream media, it seems like they're being more objective. Maybe they're doing that because CNN was just purchased. And I mean, regardless of why they're doing it, I think it's a good thing. Or maybe they're doing it because the administration is saying that this platform is not going to get us reelected, so we need to change the narrative quickly. Therefore, you need to be more objective, because that's what Americans want. I think that's good. Or even if it's a combination of both. The bottom line is it's getting better. We're moving the needle. And that's something that I think we should all be excited about. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. See you in the next video.